came up. We're right at the top. The two dots. Tanya, you have Tanya? Give me a, we might not know. Okay, because I'm not having the same Gemara, and I forgot to bring, I didn't bring the other one tonight. Tani, the third line. Yeah, beginning of the third line. Okay? You see that, Tani? Okay, Tanya. Let's say you're dealing with legumes, and legumes become chayv and maaseres when you sift them. Okay, you sift the dirt from them. So that's not always true. That is what? Yeah, because they come very dirty. They grow in the ground. Legumes, peas and beans, yeah, well, and things.
They grow up the ground, so like
yeah, but they grow down low, I guess, or something okay. like that. Yeah. Anyway, they're particularly dirty, and therefore they have to be sifted. They have to be sifted in sieves. So the bottom line is that there are two ways in which could become chayiv. If you intend to sift it, so then when it's sifted, it becomes chayiv and maaseres. If you don't intend to sift it, in other words, you intend to eat it without sifting it, so then it becomes chayiv and maaseres when you smooth its pile, what's called miruach by grain. When you smooth the pile, so that also becomes a point at which it's chayiv by legumes. The same idea.
What does it mean, smoothing the pile?
You have a pile of it, and you make sure the pile is a nice pile. A huge pile. Yeah, it's no magic.
It's really smoothing.
It's really smoothing. Really smoothing. Okay. The thing is like this: if you didn't intend to sift it, avokoveru miktas, you still have to sift a little bit. Vitore mina cover al sheino cover. They take trumoth of that which is sifted and that which is not sifted. Why is that? Because it's proper manners to the kohen to give him sifted legumes. So even if you, for your personal use, are willing to eat non-sifted legumes, yeah, to give the kohen, you have to give him sifted stuff. Right, but the bottom line is that you have to sift off whatever you're going to give him, even though for yourself you don't care. Okay? On Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila said that why is it true that for you personally, even if you didn't sift it, it can become chayiv and trumas and maaseres. L'chayra, when you get home, that nobody in their right mind is going to eat it without sifting it, as you just mentioned in passing. So he says an interesting thing. Amar Rabbi Ila shekain derech bali batim. The custom of baal batim of householders is lios machnis l'toch batein, is that they bring into their house the legumes with their dirt. Why do they do that? My taima. What's the reason? See, because it says va'alofim, alofim are oxen, va'yorim and donkeys of the adama who work the land, balil chomitz, a mixture of legumes which are not sifted, yochelu, they will eat. So occasionally you do bring into your house non-sifted legumes in order to feed the animals. So therefore, since you do that, so therefore there's a concept of utilizing legumes without ever sifting them. Since there is such a concept, so therefore, when you make a pile of this non-sifted legumes, if your intent is never to sift them, but rather to give them to your animals to eat and bring them into your house like that, so from that point on, they become chayv and maaseres, and you can't snack from them anymore. You must take off all maaseres before you snack from them. Okay? Says the Gemara further. What's next word you have? Kavar. If you sifted Rishusa Hekdesh, if you devoted your grain to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash then sifted the grain, Upto, and then you redeemed the grain, Me'achar Shuyochol Lechomi Menor Arai, you might think that since previously, what do you have there?
It's the cold.
Luchal, without the olive, right? Since previously you could have eaten from it with this in form of a snack. Now he cannot eat from in the form of a snack. Why? Because it's already been sifted. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, Eino kemisha osa maiser b'shusha hekdesh. It's not considered to be as if the stage of becoming chayv and maisers happened in the jurisdiction of hekdesh v'chayv. Right? Eino, what do you have next? Kamisha also? Okay, let me just find it here. That'll help.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Truma and Maaser?
Truma goes to the Kohen and Maaser goes to the Levi. Truma's it has no shear, no measurements at all. The rabbi said give a 40th, 50th, 60th. The Maaser is a tenth of what's left. Here, let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, this is a different way of pagination. So again, which word do you have now? Where you have to raise your finger point? Which word? Okay. You have kamosha asa maaser b'shus hakdesh v'uchayav. So he added just in the word eino. Okay, it's not kamisha asa maaser b'shus hakdesh v'uchayav, and therefore you continue to be chayav and maaseris. Now this is going to be difficult. The one is going to ask this. It would seem that since sifting is the defining moment, and that was done in the under the jurisdiction of Hekdesh, so therefore that should under jurisdiction of the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore that should exempt you from Trumas Umaisris. Okay, you should not then have to take off Trumas Umaisris, so because it was Hekdesh when it was sifted, right? Even if you redeemed it afterwards. So also Rabbi Chinna asked on this, Vatani, didn't we learn Shila Vikipa? Shila and Vikipa are both similar things. They're taking the scum off the top of the wine. There are two different ways of taking the scum off. One is taking the scum off by dipping a ladle into the wine and scooping it out, and the other is by skimming the scum itself off the face of the wine. So one gets the wine out from underneath the scum, the other takes the scum off on top of the wine. But be that as it may, both of these are steps in which you take scum off of wine. Okay, and depends if that was done birsusa hektish, if that was done under hektish's jurisdiction, right? And then upado, and then you redeemed it afterwards. After that was done, that taking off of the scum. So then afterwards, potter, you're exempt. Are we still together? Okay, then you're exempt afterwards. V'chein, and so too. What? No, I have a line before that. V'chein pikes v'shilek. Okay, before you have that, right? I'm just read outside. The same pikes with shilek, so too in the case of fuzz on melons. If that fuzz is removed when there was under Hekdesh's authority, and that was just the impotent, you continue to be exempt. So why here, even though the sifting was done under Hekdesh's authority, are you not exempt? So I'm at Rabbi Yudon, now you got it, right? Taman, over there by the wine. Nef Shar Lo, it's not possible for him. Shar Lo, it should be, you should have first the three words that you know, four words that you don't have. Shar Lo Yishlev, Shar Lo Yikve, it's not possible. So you're not going to remove the scum. You got to remove the scum, right? And Shar Lo Yifkos, instead of Yichbosh, right? You have the word Yichbosh, right? Should be Vishar Lo Yifkos, Vishar Lo Yishlok. You also have to remove the fuzz off the melons. Okay? So therefore, there, it's an integral part of the process. And if that integral part of the process is done by Hekdesh, that exempts from Trumas and Maisras. However, Baram Hocha, Efshalosh Shalom Marech, it's possible for him, you have Shalom Marech, but really, it's supposed to be Efshalosh Shalom Lichbor. It's possible not to, that you won't do the sifting. We said before, Da'ama Rabbi Ilar, Rabbi Ilar said, Ha'alof, Va'alofim, Va'yorim, V'goymer. It says that lofim and ayorim, they're going to eat the, they're going to eat from the stuff, and you're going into bring it to your house the legumes without sifting them. So you see, sifting is not an integral process of making grain, of making legumes. Excuse me, chayv and maisrus. One can make a grain legume chayv and maisrus, meaning that you can no longer snack from it, even just by making a pile. In a case where it's not going to be sifted, and it's not going to be brought in that way, to the, it's not going to be brought in sifted to the house, but it's going to be brought in whole together with the dirt intact. So therefore, what I'm trying to say in too many words is that when Hekdesh does sifting, it's not that Hekdesh is an integral part of the process. Sifting is like an icing on the cake type of thing. True. When a person does sifting, then sifting is the end of the process. But precisely because sifting is not integral. Sometimes when people use legumes without sifting them previously, so therefore the fact that Hekdesh did this final step is not as definitive and therefore does not exempt this legume from Trumas and Maisrus. It's only when Hekdesh did a step which is integral, necessary, and universal that that exempts from Trumas and Maisrus. Because that step which Hekdesh did now is a step which was done beyond human ownership, and Trumas and Maisrus require human ownership. Yes. It's because I'm using too many words. No, it's redeemed afterwards.
What?
It was only in Hekdesh's hands for a short period of time. It was then redeemed. The question is, when you redeem it, does it become a fresh chayiv and Trumas and Maisrus or not? And that depends what happened to it when it was in Hekdesh's hands. Okay, yes. Obviously, it's... If Hekdesh just owned it, no, that doesn't exempt from Trumas and Maisrus. Something meaningful had to happen in Hekdesh's hands.
So if they sifted it, whatever...
That's the question now. Whether sifting is considered meaningful.
Okay,
if let's say there was grain and they smoothed the pile, which is the meaningful step, so then in that case we say that it subsequently cannot be chayav Trumas and Maisrus ever again. Because they did, in Hekdesh's hands, the meaningful and significant step in creating Trumas and Maisrus responsibility was done by Hekdesh. So therefore, that exempts humans who reacquire it, even though they reacquire it later on, they're exempted from Trumas and Maisrus. But here, this step is non-integral. Sifting is non-integral. So just because Hekdesh did sifting, it doesn't exempt it from Trumas and Maisrus. As long as a human will then subsequently, or previously, did miruach, did the smoothing of the pile.
So it's not really the advantage of
Kohen
to do anything like this.
No, it's never the advantage of Kohen to do anything like this, right?
Do anything meaningful.
Yeah. Some of the Kohen,
so if they do something meaningful, they don't know what they're giving up
there. It's not the Kohen, by the way, also. The treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar, it's called.
Oh, the Gizbar.
Okay?
Yeah,
okay. No, I mean, I guess it probably usually was, but it doesn't have to be one. Okay? Let's go further. Tani, we learned avokolate humitachas akvar v'ochel. This means that if you have legumes that you're sifting, and some of the small legumes fall through the sieve into the dirt, with the dirt down below the sieve, right? So what's their status? The stuff which remains, because when you sift, I always get confused, when you sift, you really want the stuff which remains in the sieve, right? Not the stuff which falls out. So the stuff which remains in the sieve is now chayav and trumas and maisrus definitively, and you can't even snack from it. It's chayav and trumas and maisrus definitively. Now, if you bring it into your house, then you're not going to be able to snack from it. The thing is like this. I think I made a mistake before. You know, let me clarify that, because I think I said it wrong before. Once you thrift it, then what it does is that now, when you bring it into your house after you sifted it, you can no longer snack from it.
Okay.
It's just like miruach. Miruach means you can't snack from it now after you bring it to your house subsequently. Okay? Is that clear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the time, between the time you sift, or between the time you smooth the pile and bring it into your house, you can still snack. However, once you bring it into your house, you can no longer snack. The great chiddush by legumes, over grain, is that by grain, if you take it into your house, dirty, you can still snack from it. Because the process of cleaning grain takes place before miruach. Before miruach, you winnow it, you thresh it, you winnow it, you throw it to the winds, right, in order to sit, to so that's all beforehand. So taking dirty grain into your house doesn't take place. Right? If you took dirty grain to your house, that dirty grain would still be susceptible to snacks. By legumes, the sifting takes place after you smooth the pile. Okay? So therefore, we have here actually an interesting thing, which is that if you intend to sift, so that halacha that you're not allowed to snack once it enters your house only applies after you sifted. If you didn't intend to sift, like Rabbi Elo said, you're going to take it to your house in the dirt after the smoothing of the pile in order to feed your animals. So then the halacha is that you're not allowed to snack once you bring it to your house, even when it's dirty. And that's why we had the distinction between hekdesh, hekdesh did miruach, they smoothed the pile by grain, or hekdesh did sifting by the case of the legumes. Because smoothing a pile is always essential. You always have to smooth the pile. So therefore, that critical step was done in the hands of Hekdesh. That exempts this commodity from Trumas and Maisus ever. However, sifting is not an essential process to legumes. So therefore, even though sometimes it is, but since sometimes it isn't, if Hekdesh did it, it doesn't exempt the legumes from Trumas and Maisus. Okay?
Okay, I remember with grain, it's out in the field, you can take a piece of wheat and eat it.
Right, but that's before. That's before miruach.
Can you break off a pea pod?
Yeah, same idea. Okay, again, before miruach. For miruach, before smoothing, before sifting. Even then, it's still okay to snack until it enters your house. You need the two things together. You need the sifting or smoothing pile plus enter your house. Except that there are six other things which meet the Rabbanon are tantamount to entering your house, one of which is that you're about to sell it. You're prepared to sell it. Because then we said that since a customer might come any time, it's as if it entered your house. Okay, so there are six stages like that. Okay, so here we're talking about a case where you did sift, but stuff went through, little kernels went through, or legumes went through to the dirt on the bottom below the sieve. So they're still not chayav and trumas, so you can still snack from them. Even if you bring them into your house, you can still snack from them, because they're not considered to have been sifted since they went through the sieve and didn't stay on top. Okay? Now, it says more further. Rav Chista Amar. Now, the truth is, we're talking here about a new case in the Mishnah. The case of Mishnah was a case of kotin. And kotim are little grains, these are little legumes, the beans, which scatter. They don't actually go through the sieve. While you're pouring in the sieve, some of them scatter all around. Right? You miss.
Okay.
So what happens to the ones with which you missed? So Chista Mar Shein Mechusar La Ruach. Rav Chista says they're exempt from Trumas and Maisus. Why? Because when are they exempt from Trumas and Maisris? Because we're talking about a case. Oh, I'm thinking I'm making a mistake. Time out. Let me just look back in the Mishnah. I think I'm making a mistake. Yeah, now we're switching back to grain. I was making a mistake. This is grain. Kotin, what is kotin? We're not talking about legumes anymore. We're talking about grain. What grains are we talking about here? It's not the stuff which boils on the side. This is grain, the certain type of grain which is called kotin, which is an example of Trumas and Maisris. Now, what is this? So Rav Chisda says, mean shein mechusoyin laruach. They weren't winnowed. Okay? They weren't winnowed. They weren't scattered to the wind in order to remove the chaff. Rav Ilam Shem Rabbi Asa said, shein mechusoyin naicha. They're missing nicha. They are winnowed, but they were never put to rest in a pile. Okay? So according to Rabbi Yasa, it's talking about a case. According to Rabbi Chisda, it's talking about a case where they are not yet winnowed. That grain is exempt from trumas u'maisros. Yeah, I guess even if you made a pile out of it, it's exempt from trumas u'maisros. According to Rabbi Yasa, we're talking about a case where they're completely clean, but they haven't yet been placed in the proper location. They haven't yet been placed in the grain silo. So it says more further. Vatninon, then we learn hayayin wine mishi yikbeh. Once you skim, it's considered to be already chayim and trumusu maisris. Ma'da marshe mechusarin nicha. According to Pinu, holds once they're clean, wait a second. Yeah. Okay, I made this. Take a look back in the Mishnah for a moment. You have to see back in the Mishnah, otherwise this case is not understandable. You see by the little test, oh yeah, I don't know if you have a test on that page. There's a line which says, Yain Mishi Yikbeh. What? Will I have a little test? So, Yain Mishi Yikbeh. Wine, once you took the scum off, Avo Bisha Kippa, even though you took off the scum, however, Kolate Minagasa Leona, you can take that which is pouring from the upper the section of the wine press, or Minatina, that which comes from a pipe, the Shoisa, and you can drink that. Okay? So this is a very interesting thing. Despite the fact that the stuff on the lower, okay, picture to yourself you have a higher plus section and a lower section, and there's stuff flowing from the higher section into the lower section, and the lower section you already took the scum off the top. Okay, now new stuff is coming in from the upper section. What's its status? So we say that you can still snack from it. The stuff which comes from the top down, it's still subject to snacks. It's not yechayev and trumas u'maisros definitively. So it says there that wine mishiyikbe, even though you already took the scum off, you cleaned it, you can still drink, you can still use it as a snack. Lemando amar. Let's go back to the Gemara now. Again, you see the v'hatzninon right on the top of Hema Beis, the second word. Hey, on my base. What, Nina?
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. But yeah, yain mishik pevechule. Wine, once you started skimming it, even though you skimmed it already, there's still possible to drink it in a way which won't make you chayim and trumas u'maisros. That's good. I understand that. According to the opinion that says, ma damar shei mechusarin nicha, according to the opinion holds that you're missing only putting in the right place, but it's already clean. And still you're exempt from trumas u'maisros. It's good, it makes sense. Madam Hashem Chusoin Leruach. However, he holds that you only exempt from Trumas Maisis when it hasn't yet been properly winnowed. But once it's been properly winnowed, then you're Chayim Trumas Maisis because it's clean. How are you going to explain the Mishnah? The neck of the Mishnah, which we just read, which says that even though it's been cleaned already, you're still exempt from Trumas Maisis. Right? You know, you still have to snack. He answers, Mechusarahu b'shmarav. Yes, the stuff which is coming down from the top is not yet completely clean either. You know why? Because it still has dregs in it. And that's why a person can take it and still snack from it. Because the dregs, which are still inside of it. Okay, shmorim are dregs. Hesem Rabbi Binyamin Bar Gidol, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Gidol asks, but I have a similar kind of question. It says also in the Mishnah, which we the next part of the Mishnah, Hashem Mishiyorad L'Uka. Oil, once it gets down to the collecting pit in the oil press, nonetheless, even though some of it is down a collecting pit, the oil which is still in the press, you're allowed to use despite the fact that it's already pressed. It's still not, because definitively chayim trumas u'maisers. Madar ishim u'chusari nechakor, the opinion that even if it's clean, as long as it hasn't rested in a collecting vat, it's exempt. Nicha, that makes sense. Madar ishim u'chusari l'ruach, according to the opinion, however, it says that you still need to, that any time it's clean, it's chayim and trumas u'maisers. And we're talking about kotin in the Mishnah, which says that you're not chayim and trumas u'maisers, it's only because it's lacking cleaning, it's lacking winnowing. So where's the lacking cleaning here by the oil? It says, I'll tell you what it is. Mechusar hu la'atzil. It seems when it sits in the collecting area at the bottom, at the press, it gradually becomes clearer and clearer. I guess there's still some sediment which sinks to the bottom. So therefore, when that's what he holds, that as long as the oil has not yet sunk into the collecting pit, you can still snack from it because it's still not completely clean. What's it not completely clean of? This residue or sediment which would settle to the bottom once it got to the bottom of the press. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah again from that little test. To the rest of the Mishnah. Halacha Dalet again. Lend of Halacha Dalet. Hayayim Mishiyikbe. Wine, once it's susceptible to, once it took up the scum, what's the next word you have? Fafalpi. Even though Shekipa, even though you removed the scum, Kolit Minagasol, you can still take wine, which is flowing out of the upper part of the press, Minatinor, from the pipeline, which shows and you may drink it. Hashem and Mishirad L'Uka. Oil, once it goes down into a pit, into the collecting area, it's Chayim and Trumas Amaisras. Vafa P, nonetheless, Babi Shirad, even though it went down already, Noito Mina Ekel, you can take from the basket in which you collect the olives, Mina Memel. The Memel is a big stone which presses down on the olives. Umin Bein HaPantzim. And from between the boards are all around the press, holding in the oil in the press. V'nosein L'chamita. And you can take this oil and put it into a small cake. It's still considered to be snacking. U'toch HaKara, and into your plate. Tocha tamchu. Tamchu is like a divided plate. You know, like you get in cafeterias. That's what a tamchu is. Avaloyite levesu kedera. You may not put your oil into a pot. Levis or kedera are two types of pots. Shame rutachim when they're ready cooking. You know what? Even though technically speaking, you might say that, well, I'm snacking on the oil in my cooked food, but nonetheless, cooking ready doesn't look like snacking. Cooking looks like what? A permanent usage, like a meal. So therefore, you're not allowed to use the stuff which you took, the stuff which you have for the purpose of cooking. Now, these are stuff which is not yet meiser for purpose of cooking. It's not considered to be a snack. Rabbi Lamer Lekol Nosein. You can put this stuff which is not yet meiser and still have considered snacking into anything, except Midar V'sheish B'chom Mitzvah Tzir, something which has vinegar and brine in it. And the Gemara will explain why these things are unique. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. V'nosein L'chamita. Do you have that?
I'm sure I do, but I don't
know where I am. Okay. Hammer base. Give me the Gemara, I'll show you. You don't have it. Okay, he's got a whole section which you don't have. I'm sure it's somewhere else. I don't know. Let me read it to you outside. Okay. But first the header. You put it into a small cake and into a dish. Tanya, we learned the Brisa. You shouldn't put it into a vessel to continuously use it. You shouldn't store the untied stuff. Say, well, I'm going to use it for the next snack and the next snack and next for the next dozen snacks. It obviously doesn't wash properly. Okay, now you have the next part. I didn't show you. Just told you it's there. Right there. Okay. Okay, I have ochel, and I have an extra word here which you don't have. Those who you're eating and you left over, v'choshcha, and it got dark, v'leil Shabbos, at this Friday night. Oh, shenosam lo damacher, or you gave it to another individual. You sold this grain. Now this grain is not nigmar melachto, right? It hasn't yet been, miruach. It hasn't even had its file smooth, right? So in this case, Amrei B'Shir,
just a minute.
If you're in private,
lo nitbalu. They have not yet become tevel, okay? They're not considered to be tevel. Why? Because you can continue to eat as a snack after Shabbos is over, or that other individual can continue to eat as a snack. Rabbi Yirmiyah. I have a whole section here in the middle which you don't have. You have next words by you, Rabbi Yirmiyah, right? Do you have the place? Okay, I have a whole section. Listen to me what I have to say here. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Shimon ben Elazar said, when is this true? Bismach ocha v'hosir v'choshka v'leil Shabbos. This is only if you're eating and you still have some stuff left and it just happens to get dark Friday night. Avolo yiskaven. But you should not premeditatedly intend to eat until chanigro and harvei and put your olive oil, which is snacking on, into a lot of vegetable juice, in order to bishvil shiyosi achlin stoch beso, in order to then bring it into your house and leave it over Shabbos and snack motzoi Shabbos. In other words, you could find a loophole as a result of this and say, well, Shabbos is not going to make me chayev. Let me bring in a lot and store it and then continue snacking motzoi Shabbos. That you're not allowed to do. But you're allowed to the snack which you were eating Erev Shabbos, you can wait till Motzoi Shabbos and then continue eating it without tithing it in the interim. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah Sovar Meimar, this you have, right? Rabbi Yirmiyah thought to say,
let me just find it here.
Benosun b'chamito v'tamchoi, that when does Shabbos not make something fixed for Trumas Umaisris, when the stuff is in a small cake or in a plate, the tamchoi plate. Avo benosim b'tslochis, but if it's in a pottery, I don't know if pottery is the right word, but if it's in a jug, nitba, then Shabbos says, that's it. You no longer eat that at all, even snacking without Trumas Umaisris. Even snacking you can't do anymore. You have to take Trumas Umaisris off of it. Amrale Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yosef said no. Afilu benosim b'tzalachas, even if it's in tzlochis, even if it's in a pitcher or in a bottle, lo nitbal, doesn't become tevel as a result of Shabbos. In other words, you can just skip right through Shabbos and then snack after Shabbos is over. Amrale Rabbi Yirmiyah said, v'ein Shabbos toveles, does Shabbos not make it tevel? And he said, "V'ein mekach toivel." Don't sales make it also the fact make it suitable for suitable? Don't sales make it tevel? You can no longer drink it. So says the Gemara. What a respond to him? He says, "Amalei kahuta amar Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Zera." No. Like Rabbi Yosef said, in the name of Rabbi Zira, And Rabbi Yir Yoina said, B'shem Rabbi Zira, B'shem Rabbi Elazar, Lazar. Masha b'lagin lo nitbal. You know what? That which is in the ladle doesn't become tevel. Mivnei shu osi lach zero b'davish lo nigmar b'lachto. Because you can put it back when it's something where the work is not complete. Now, this is a very interesting thing. What he says, what I meant to say, that Shabbos doesn't make it real tevel. In other words, after Shabbos you continue snacking it. It's something where you can put back the oil back in the press. In other words, it's since you could override what you did, reverse what you did. What you did is that you took oil out of the press, the snack. You could still put it back. So what's if you put it back Friday afternoon, you put it back after Shabbos is over? That's called lo nigmara melachto. It's not completely processed yet. The fact that you can put it back, that Rabbi Yonah says, is enough that it's exempt from Trumus and Maizrus. Okay? Says tomorrow. Why does Rabbi Yirmiyah argue? So says tomorrow. Chele to Rabbi Yirmiyah. We don't have Chele? Chayole, or you have Chayole maybe. The strength of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah's position is sustained, min hadar, from the following case. In other words, Rabbi Yirmiyah derives vision from the following case. What does it say? I have the Tanya Tamon, it says over there, but it's not true, mate. Vodam Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar also said, I made Odom ala mukta erev Shabbos, shebishviz. A person could stand on his mukta. Now mukta, you know, nowadays we know what we mean when we say mukta, right?
Something you can't touch
with Shabbos. But here means, here specifically in those days, it meant something which was mukta by virtue of the fact that it's going to becoming raisins or dried figs. Because while it's becoming raisins or dried figs, you were here for
the next year?
Okay, it's going to be downstairs. Yeah, but you can listen to this. It's okay. Vavika won't charge you extra.
Okay. You're saying this is when it's...
What?
You're saying when it's in the process.
Yeah, while food is in the process becoming raisins and figs, it's mukta. What does it mean it's mukta? You set it aside. Because people don't use half-made raisins or half-made figs. What? Half dried. Okay? So it says that you can stand by your mukta, meaning by the area where you put your drying raisins or drying figs. You can stand there Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, Vishviz, during the Shemitah year. Voyman, you can say, oh, Mikan ani, the other word Mikan? Mikan ani Oechel Amachar. I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. All right? In other words, you can stand there and say, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. Why by Shemitah? Because Shemitah is no din of Meisr. So you don't have to worry about Meisrus. And that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah picks up on. Lo Amar Ela B'Shvi'is. He's only talking about by Shemitah. When there's no problem Meisrus. Hashar Shnei Shavua. But any other the years of the 7-year cycle, lo. That's no good. Why is that? It must be that Shabbos requires you to meiser even these raisins and figs, which are lo nigmar melachton, which are not yet complete. So we see that we see the raya approved for Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ma avi la Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the? You don't have that at all. Okay, he has here an addition. Ma avili Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi going to do with Rabbi Yirmiyah's proof? That means Rabbi Yirmiyah's proof is a good one. You see there that even right now Rabbi Yirmiyah says that in this case we see that as long even if you can put it back afterwards, it's still considered Shabbos as koveya, even by Davish Lo Nigmara Malachto, even if it's not complete. So what does Rabbi Yirmiyah do? Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one who said. I'm sorry, I keep saying Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi do? Rabbi Yossi is the one who said that Shabbos is not Koveh, it's something which you can put back. Shabbos does make a Chayav and Trumas Masin, it's something you put back, and here you can't put it back. you take the raisins, you put back the raisins. They're still going to keep drying, right? So it says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the difference is. Where he says, Lachzir limkoimo. What? Yeah. Lachzir limkoimo. It's right, almost at the bottom of Hamad Beis. Lachzir limkoimo. Actually, it's not so, not quite at the bottom. Lachzir limkoimo is here. Lachzir limkoimo iata. You can't put it back tomorrow. Why is that? Rabbi Yossi says, you know why over there by the raisins and the figs, if you designate them, they're chayim and trumus and maisras? Because you can't put it back tomorrow. Because it's halach on Shabbos, you're not allowed to create mukta. Now let's consciously create something, make something mukta. And if you put the raisins and figs away to dry on Shabbos, and that's called making them muktzah, consciously pushing them aside. That's forbidden. So therefore, Shabbos, in this case, the halacha of muktzah on Shabbos will not allow you to return the raisins and figs to the place where they're drying. Now, you don't get it, right?
Well...
Again, Rabbi and Rabbi... Right. Yeah, exactly.
So at the end, you can't.
You know what it's like? There's a law that if oil is going to drip, we're going to see this later in the Bavli. If oil is dripping out of your candle, you can't put a vessel underneath that oil to catch it. Because then that vessel is going to become mukta. Because the oil is mukta. It won't be allowed to move that vessel which contains the oil.
That's only if the oil is for Shabbos.
Right. Talking about Shabbos oil. So that's called mevatel kli me'achoner. You're taking a vessel out of its character.
Oh, I see.
So too here, Rabbi Yossi's machlokas is really machlokas, the crux of which is whether, when I can return something, hypothetically, but I can't return it because of Shabbos, is that recall returnable or not? So I can return half-done raisins to the drying area, in reality. But Shabbos won't allow me to do that. So Rav Yossi says that in of itself is enough to make a chayim trumus and maisers from the time Shabbos begins. The fact that halacha impedes upon me on Shabbos and returning it to the drawing area. Again, because I'd be consciously making mukta. Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't understand there's such a distinction. He holds as long as it can be put it back because in terms of reality, that's sufficient. That should be sufficient in order to prevent it from becoming bona fide chayim trumus and maisers. But that is not true according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says as long as halacha prevents you from returning it, it already comes chayim trumus maisers at the onset of Shabbos. Okay? Masnisa pliga al Rabbi Yirmiyah. Our Mishnah argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Or I shouldn't say our Mishnah. The Mishnah about to learn argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah. What's the Mishnah that argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah? Are you with me?
I think so.
Yes. Ein aray l'shabbos. It says that there's no snacking on Shabbos. The problem is that doesn't argue Rabbi Yirmiyah. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. Rabbi Yirmiyah says on Shabbos you're not allowed to snack. Shabbos is always koveya. So that's why he changes the gears and he says the gears should be masnisa pliga Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the one who said Shabbos is not always koveya. As long as you could put it back, Shabbos doesn't make something chayim and trumas and maisers definitively. As long as you could put it back, it's not chayim and trumas and maisers. So there's actually a proof against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that there is snacking even after Shabbos begins. He says there's no snacking after Shabbos begins. That's it. Finished. Anything becomes chayim and trumas and maisers definitively once Shabbos begins, there's no snacking. Okay? Says the Gemara, pas our law. So what is Rabbi Yossi going to do with this? He's going to say, it's something where you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos from whence it came, such as the half-done raisins and dates, where you now have figs, you're not allowed to put it back to where they were. So that's why there's not susceptible snacking. Once Shabbos begins, that's it. They can no longer be snacked upon. Anything else which could be put back theoretically is not considered to be a problem to snack on Shabbos. Okay? Says more al daita Rabbi Yirmiyah, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, of course, lo shani who davar sheish lo mukta lo shani davar sheim bo mukta. Rabbi Yirmiyah, regardless, there's no snacking on Shabbos no matter what we're talking about, even if you put back, period, there's no permission to snack on anything on Shabbos. Okay? As long as it's Chayv and Trumos and Maisers. Rabbi Mona asked the question. Chayset Slochis Maleo. Are you with me?
Rabbi
Mona. Mona. Do you have next word, Maboy? Give me.
Oh,
right there. Rabbi Maboy, you asked the question. Chayset Slochis Maleo. You had a plate of a pitcher full of oil. So that should be, when Shabbos begins, that should be Chum Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, you know. There's no snacking on Shabbos, right? But Nisuna ben Patzel Chavero. But it's still in the press. It's between the boards of the press. It never left the press. Nitbala. Does it become Tevil once Shabbos begins? Or was the Shabbos definitively make a Chayim Trumas and Maisers? Or perhaps it's the, even though it's in a pitcher, in a vessel, but since the vessel's in the press itself, and it's not Nigmar HaMelachto, it's not fully completed yet, Lonit Blood doesn't become Tevil. And the Gemara doesn't resolve this question. But this is a very basic question. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Machlokes of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yossi is where the process is complete. Nigmar HaMelachto. Does Shabbos prevent you from subsequently ever snacking on again or not? Okay? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that which is completed and Shabbos begins, you can never snack on it again. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it depends. If it's something which can be put back to from whence it came, so you can still snack it. If it cannot be put back to whence it came, you cannot snack on it. So now we bring that. So now we're asking, what if it's something which was taken away? It's Nigmar Merlachto. It's put into a pitcher, but the pitcher was left in the press. So in that case, it's considered to be the Shabbos making Chayim and Trumas and Maisers or not, and the Mara doesn't answer the question. Okay? We'll go going downstairs in a minute. Let's just finish the plot, the Amud. It said in the Mishnah that you shouldn't put, if you put it into a hot pot, it's a problem. Okay? You can't put it in the hot pot. Okay? So he says here, Ad Heichon. What is a hot pot defined as? So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi, Rabbi Simon Shemreis, Rabbi Yehuda Chiyosu Chinen said, "Ad shekadesh tei noisin yodol esocha." When you, if your hand is in it, v'nech nichves, it burns. So if your hand is in it and it burns, then that's a hot pot. And once the food is put there, it's for sure chayim and trumas and maaseres. There's no going back at that point. Hakomot in bekli sheni shumoter. However, everybody agrees that you put into a kli sheni, that's mutter because it's not really hot, just like by Shabbos. Ma ben your kli rishon kli sheni. What's it between kli rishon and kli sheni? Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi said, kan hayat shuletes v'kan ein hayat shuletes. By kli rishon, you can't stick your hand in. By kli sheni, it's not so hot. You already stick your hand. It literally had its control. I say, you know what? Even if not, even if kan b'kan ena yad shaletes, even if you can't stick your hand to kli sheni, it's so hot you can't stick your hand into the kli sheni, the second vessel. Nonetheless, it's still not considered to be a problem. Why? Because elohasar chokel kli rishon chazal meitakona, that when you put it into a hot pot, so it's already chayim trumas u'maaseres, boom. That's only by Kli Rishon they made that Sakona. The Lo Asu Parchok of Kli Sheni, they didn't make that Takona to be so machmir by Kli Sheni, when it put into a secondary pot, not into the primary pot where it's going to be cooked. Amar Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Mona said, are you still with me? Hadein Pincha Da Rosa Misayeh La'aba. You have pincha da adio. It should be pincha da rosa. You have a clump of rice. It's like my father Rabbi Yoina said. Vahadein pincha. It should be again. Vahadein pincha de grusa. Also a clump of hot beans. Misayeh la'aba. Why? You take it out of the first vessel and put it in the second vessel and it's still hot. So we see that Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni doesn't necessarily make a difference in terms of the heat, yet nonetheless there will be a difference in terms of the Takana that in a Kli Rishon, once you put in the food, it's got to be tithe, because that looks like it's already kavua, it's permanent. When it's put in the Kli Sheni, it's not. Now, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, we do say that there's a difference between a solid food and a liquid food. But the Gemara doesn't make that difference here today. And we'll stop here.